sit up, huh?
Yeah. Why am I sit up?
So, can we put this stuff on so that we have some record of the whole thing, what we are going to say? The whole idea here is also put the lapel on. The whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking about the camel. So
what is the topic here?
There will be definitely boring meeting.
So Joel is going to
talk. I'm going to listen.
So the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to A, make sure that when Petr leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen, right?
Well, I guess so. I couldn't. I would like to change, but I cannot.
So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders and hope that he won't get out entirely out of this problem. But still, we need to continue on this. So I think Joel will be is my main hope that he's going to pick up the keyword spotting and some of these ideas. And also, the reason why Petr Motlíček is here is that Joel is also getting interested in all models of temporal envelope.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, Petr Fosek knows a lot about it, but...
I think Petr more than me.
But you will be here and from different point of view. Motlíček is working mainly on speech coding. And so this is I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah, right.
And so that you need to know. And
let me just tell us. So what do you know already about I don't know how far you are with this?
Yeah.
Features or.
So basically, I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time traps. And tandem approach.
So you know.
Yeah. So then I also started with there was a paper on fitting an AR model to the DCT of a signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the DCT?
Yeah.
I cannot say it's to the Hilbert envelope, you mean, no?
Paper by Dan Ellis.
Oh, that's how it started. Because that was Mario Sapineos and Dan Ellis.
Yeah.
They had a paper, I believe it was not ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU. But that was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah, okay.
It was like 50 milliseconds or something.
Yeah.
So then the story was that then Mario's presented that it's some meeting and we realized, oh, that might be cute thing for estimating spectral energies because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow stupid, so first do the frame by based estimate and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory. So Marios was here for half a year, also maybe, or even
why
more,
that?
And started working with them.
I don't think so.
Just came, so they were working a little bit together. I mean, Marios was programming in MATLAB, and Petr was putting it in.
Yeah, I just rewrote it in the C++. I didn't do too much on that.
But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried. There are many knobs to tune on that because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like picked maybe three knobs and tried to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings. So this we did, but.
And
we
never published it anyway,
right? We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now. Because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to look at it. And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. And I couldn't be sure about it at the time, so. And anyway, it takes time, this computation, it's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere. And
It was also doing the silly thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right?
Yeah, there's no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap as possible, which is silly, but that you have to start somewhere.
Then I continued with another papers that you're mentioning, trap. So just moving around with that ideas. And also the main idea today why I told maybe is like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally if I find that you have something else, maybe to list down the things other than the what I've already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss the anything.
So, last time we were talking about Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow, like feature extraction,
and
then the tandem training also. So you're able to train the net now.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now, because Chipan is gone, and
Morgan
was joining.
They are gone from ICSI?
They are gone from ICSI. Yeah. Chipan went to PI, and Barry is at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He basically got a job. He graduated. He'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here. It's classified, well, typically. And so Morgan was only half joking. Somebody was asking him, somebody was asking him something. There was Matthew. And he said, well, probably will be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore at ICSI. So please.
But who is the one who is now developing the QuickNet and these things, the MLP4 and these things?
Well, nobody. That was Barry, and now it's.
It was Barry.
Actually, Berno is doing a lot of that. Now they picked up the software and they play with these four-layer nets. So
I see.
That Berno will be soon an ultimate expert on.
Well, still, we have the experts who made the software run here, you know, Olivier Bornet and...
Which software? No,
QuickNet training.
QuickNet was done, QuickNet itself was done actually long
yes,
time
but
ago,
Olivier make it run on these machines and so make the cross the 2G barrier here at IDEA because we couldn't do something, I don't know what, but he is now good in QuickNet,
okay,
right,
so
I guess.
I have the feature extraction part where I can get the phoneme posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great. So you just missed the backend, which is easy because it's HTK, it's everyone knows here.
Yeah, but HTK through for some other task I have run HTK. So
okay.
I have the general feel, but maybe I can take the entire setup from you and run it once on this thing to have.
Yeah, okay. And you just need from us to hear what are the other front ends and other features to choose something?
Yeah, so then I think I can share what I have read.
Well, the whole idea then is that you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
Yes.
Yeah. And
okay, so how do we do it? Should I list it or?
That might be the.
This is the feature extraction that we have already taken, then the backend for that.
I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which are not the waves. So well, that's what I call it, and then the backend. Mm-hmm. But okay, well, so what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for comparison purposes. Then traps with Warriors Lens, and also you know traps now.
Yeah, traps I know, but with various.
With various Lens.
Okay, Lens.
We were trying to start from the ultimate Lens of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was so this. Also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself. Which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Franta who was doing this. So this is related to traps. I was also trying the warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second which is 101 samples. I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, like resampling this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every 10th point at the boundaries, which means the trap 101 trap trajectory shrank to say 15 points with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundaries. So this I was trying. So this I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps, then tandem system. The tandem you plus minus have because that's just the PLPs, and then there is a training with MLP, which is taking some context of these PLP coefficients. So it's like feeding PLPs or MFCs, whatever, to MLP and taking some context. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here. I didn't experiment with this, but maybe in some more results. It's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess, no?
He used to have before he lost
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I think the most important results are already in the thesis he's writing. So is there somewhere? So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the FDLP. Then we can talk more about. Which I have more experiments on. Also this warping and compressions and all these things.
Compression basically you are looking at.
Yeah, but I'm using that for a different reason, right? So it's speech coding. So what is the task is you just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into as small number of bits as possible and with a reasonable point, of course. And again to decode it. And I'm using FDLP for that. Still playing with more or less 1 second long segment. So just dividing the speech into 1 second frames, doing DCT, so the standard work, and then doing some compression and
Well,
compilation.
still subbands, no?
Oh, yeah. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
but you just didn't talk about any
You take
subbands
the
so far.
DCT and you just divide it into several subbands, frequency bands, with a different.
And by the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no? Or
With
you
the
do?
compression, I do.
Yeah, but you don't do the overlap on the time domain. You
No,
said
no, no,
something.
I
Yeah.
don't do.
Okay, so
Basically,
that's the
you
difference.
for compression, you're basically
Yeah,
doing
just
the
1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want, more or less, or just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or classical, those trapezoidal, like in MFCCs, right? And then processing
PLPs.
each, yeah, build.
MFCCs are triangles.
Okay, triangles, that one. Then I'm
Okay.
doing independent processing of each frequency band. So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope, which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less, you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope, autoregressive model, and excitation signal. Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you want again to get original speech or reasonable quality. And there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those even also those dips, not only peaks. On the spectrum, and it sounds better for some kind of
So you know about this compression,
signals.
how does
Yeah.
it, why it's okay. I
He
just
knows
don't
more than I do.
Well, he's new, he's doing most of the things.
So it's kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MFCCs, right? So it's again compression factor, something like that. But then you have to uncompress it again, of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which I'm doing, so, but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
Okay.
But certainly, when it comes to like the open modeling of temporal trajectories, even the fact that Fonseca is not here, you probably know a lot about it by now.
Well. What?
No, that approximating Hilbert envelope by Allport model.
What?
It's
I
VLP.
Yeah, well, the beginning of.
Sure.
Okay.
More or less the same approach, right?
Same,
there is
different applications.
Okay.
Different software.
So, just say in the speech resynthesis or coding, what you're doing. Did you try to play with the knobs somewhere, like
what?
Many with the compression number of bands and lengths
of
the
number
of
bands and
what you were playing with and what are the results, like what to use so
no,
that it
the problem
sounds
speech,
the best,
because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah, of course,
because
you listen to it yourself. I'm fine with them because.
Well, so now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down,
yeah,
till like 12 and still okay, I would say. But then you start hearing difference.
Okay.
Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that let's say excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down.
Yeah,
if
because
you make a broader bands.
Broader bands.
Because
right.
When the band is narrow. That excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid.
Yeah. So there is more and more frequency components, let's say, or something like that in one.
So you want to say that the LPC is not able to fit it so that the residual was
no,
easy?
No, LPC will maybe. But then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech cooling or...
You may almost want to use the whiteboard, I mean.
And put it here.
So can you remove this when you're going to this place?
I don't think so. No, you're not supposed.
No, we are.
Well, I mean, it's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you've got source signal, I don't know, source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible because
yeah.
It drags to the.
And then there is some filter, which is that one divided by AZ. and that's it. And the source can be a noise signal or it can be some sequence of what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is a standard time domain, right?
Yeah.
So it's more. Or let's just say what I'm doing. So this is some envelope, which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope. And this is a source signal, which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But
right.
But you are really in a frequency domain. So the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And
which line?
Exactly. Yeah,
this
is now going to be
because this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
This spectrum
okay.
is also line spectrum, right? I mean, all components. So if you are then, if you are in a frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah. So more or less, if we can plot it. So what we can see is some.
I see what you mean.
Like this. And then there is that Hilbert carrier, or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from. One frequency band. So you compute ECT, right?
Well, this is the subband.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Time signal. That's
and
it.
What we get from that is this Hilbert envelope, right?
So you know that.
And
yeah.
The second, which should be that carrier, should.
I see.
Something like this. It's just really close to cosine. You might see.
Okay, so.
And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit.
I see. I was thinking the residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope, not this. I was not thinking of this at all before, you know. Because there are three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients,
right.
And the residual after LPC fit,
no,
if you like.
LPC. No.
No, you don't.
This is the residual for me.
This is the residual.
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's
yeah.
And what you need is this envelope and this one carrier. And you again get the same signal, this shape.
Okay.
In
yeah.
IBCD.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem currently is that the carrier is
yeah, right.
not cosine, but there's
right.
something a little bit more.
For example, for us, if you have a very good music signal, which is very periodic, you can really see something like there's one peak.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the over the length of the...
It doesn't change. It's related to that frequency of the broadband.
Yeah.
If you have
that's nice.
wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay. And so,
so
the broader bands, the what on this picture, left, left.
Then you don't see any.
But fortunately, because of because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, you if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. Where you really, if you want to do a good voice speech, you want to get the lower bands.
Yeah, that's
if you put in noise altogether,
everywhere.
It sounds like a whispered speech.
It
but
sounds
you understand
like
perfect.
LPC when you excited by noise.
By noise.
It's better, I would say, better quality, definitely better quality. It's a lower bitrate, but that's the problem.
So now we have to kill them both because I mean, we gave all the secrets away.
Yeah.
going to.
Any objective measure you use for?
Objective measure for some those distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well, I mean.
If Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape, then we are in trouble. Hopefully by then it will be protected and
How the hell I just said that we shouldn't talk about confidential things here?
That's
the problem.
Listen, this is a science.
Yeah.
Confidential to the extent that we are not publishing it yet, but we of course, will. And we have to make sure that if Qualcomm has an interest, who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. This is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The only problem would be if, but you know, nobody can beat Petr Motyček anymore. I mean, if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP, they will take half a year before they will even realize what it is. And by then. So it's not problem. Okay, so that's
there's a compromise between the lower bands, the worse stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients to transmit.
Right.
So 15 is about okay.
Yeah. Also, there are papers about it that if you have like 12 frequency bands, is somehow optimal.
Okay. So this, and then there is a compression. What about
compression
that?
Compression is only to relate to somehow fit that Hilbert envelope to.
Get that.
So that you get, so that you can model it actually.
Yeah, you can model it better. There is no echo or something like reverberance in the signal. Should we go down with that compression factor to like 0.1?
Of what? Oh, compression. Okay.
So what is the compression factor we are getting here?
When you when you compress the effectively what the signal which we are modeling, and so then you get a fit.
The subband signal.
Essentially, if you were in spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum.
Yes.
Here you compress the
subband power spectrum.
The city of the signal.
Right.
And so then your predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal, but you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different. Because it basically this open modeling has a different properties.
Yeah, you just preserve something different. A bit.
So we can tell you a little bit more about that. This is sort of old technique. Which
I think Hinek has good math and papers or something.
Yeah.
Know that, so.
It was my thesis, in PhD thesis actually.
LPC.
LP was called Spectral Transforming Error Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was in 1980s in Boston. You guys were still in kindergarten, right?
Right. More or less.
Oh, it's terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute, but that was about it. But now it seems like that it's, since what we are doing here, we are, normal LPC is fitting heat, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only heat. you sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the envelope. So that helps you, because then this spectral transform allows you to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and so I think that basically, I don't know what else, I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
one thing I wanted to know is
go on.
A good literature on this.
I think you can already take those papers from Marios.
Yeah, they are about three papers. Well, the SAPA, or how it's called,
SAPA,
the conference.
And then this is
then
two papers. One is in SAPA, one is in the InterSpeech.
And one is in the American.
And one was in the ASRU.
Yes.
From
What is SAPA?
I don't know.
I tell you what it stands for: statistic and something cultural approaches. I was on the organizing committee. I should know.
You don't know abbreviation. That's bad.
Perception and statistics and perceptual approaches.
Okay.
But there are also reports from IDIAP, I think. At least two reports from Marius.
But they are the same.
They are more.
And then also, is there some more work actually can be traced down? I think that the reading Les Atlases papers are very good, because Les Atlas is doing a lot of work on coding in this domain. He doesn't use ORPOR model, but he uses DCT, and then he. And Les is excellent guy. He's a very good very good theoretician. Basically, he's a Stanford guy, and really he likes to write things well.
Yeah.
So he's very rigorous, as opposed to me, for instance.
Yeah,
so if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes unreadable.
So whatever you get hands on from Les Atlas for over past 5 years, regarding this, 2 years ago, last year, on one of the ICAS, he had like five papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
I think this year on InterSpeech there was one paper, but it was regarding to speech recognition.
Okay.
Somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah. It was not something like speech coding or that DCT transforms, nothing like that.
Also, I can before Marius left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here, and also all the MATLAB implementations of this are here, and there is also one big table that he used to
all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the of that, and there is a big table in Excel. Which you can look at.
All kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The
this
first
one.
Time you start using the cluster, I remember.
Because it took a huge amount of time, and he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these things.
Everybody hated him.
So
temporarily, I remember.
He just put here the PMake environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and run it on all the machines here. So at some point he was using all the available memory by any mistake, you know. So in the morning all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever move the mouse.
Everybody was computing like Marios. We would be all dead. And I said, Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Marios.
Yeah. So this result, yeah, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was again 10 times more demanding than C++, and then
maybe yes, maybe no. It's hard to say.
But he wrote it well. But anyway, because in the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse. I really don't use it all. I just multiply from here to here, from here to here, and not the matrix, but my matrix, and then I just optimized it a bit, and also BLAST libraries and all these things. But okay, whatever.
Well, it is important, you know. voice. I mean, this is something which we never talk about, right? How much work?
It is important for
here
this
because
game,
it's true that things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more hardware, but also some people basically know how to.
Yeah, but there's the backend recognizer which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes, or well, from 11 to 15 minutes. Normally it would take an hour and a half. Yeah, no, today it was over 1 hour. It's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less. But still, you can 5 times more compute.
So do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
Great. I have to talk to you about this. I don't know. I didn't try to anything. I didn't even mail to Ondřej Černocký, I must say. I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there, any job, like related maybe to field, but job, not anything, any research. So if nothing, then I could be able to get a job somewhere.
So you don't die of hunger.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but
you'll try something.
Okay.
So Joel, your main basically thing is, as I told you to, when we were walking, that whatever path it is, that it doesn't die, but it carries, and obviously we very much hope that you get into that and you get excited and you do more or maybe even different things.
We hope that you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential is much bigger. Yeah, it actually works, that's it.
That it doesn't work.
No, but after you find out the bug, then it will be, that will be the yeah. So we will send you the papers related, and I will point you to all the code which I have.
Yeah, and regarding this FDLP.
Yes,
this is
record,
so if we
you can play it back.
To his word.
So actually I can just now tell the locations of all the files and you can rewind.
Browse through the meeting.
yeah, for that.
Yes.
So
what are we doing time wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fun, right?
Yeah. Any more things?
But you will be here almost until end of.
Till 24. It's the Friday,
November.
So November, yeah.
It breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I'll need an assistant.
There's no Petr Svojanovský in front of Petr.
Yeah.
Petr is cooler.
Hopefully, it makes that they pay some extra.
What are you going to talk or to teach? It's just a perceptual
speech.
Stuff.
Well, it's actually a combination of combination of two classes I was giving at OGI, which is like speech processing and perception. And so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
Do you already know how many students you have?
No. I should have at least 4 because this is graduate school. I have one, right?
Oh, it's
guaranteed.
Graduate.
I have one guaranteed that I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was
3. I mean, 4 credits or total?
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be 4 credit or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it 4 credit because then they just sit there and having good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in IS it's 4 credits. Guillermo is taking. I think
Guillermo is taking. Very good. Yeah, so I already have at least 2. I probably get 4.
Well, I would like to go there, but not just for credits. Just maybe to hear something new.
It's possible. That's for sure. I mean, that's. Okay.
The last time it was. For me, it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when there were the floods in Czechia, I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books. How to say this?
The notebooks.
All the notepads and everything, old notes from any courses, so I was remembering what I was learned, what I was taught at the time, so I have it now back, at least partially. Because all the algorithms you were speaking about,
I can't get into too many things. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time. And
no.
Suddenly we ran out of time, basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture. It was only 2-hour lecture, and Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed. But suddenly he said,
awesome.
"So where are you?" I said, "Well, I'm just slowly getting into LPC." So was like I had to do it in 1 hour. Everybody was totally confused, I guess.
Also in the labs, the people didn't know anything about it and they just followed the papers.
Yeah.
It was
a DBA file. Okay, guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything really important.
Not to this topic.
Yeah, but I can come.
Right, it's a little bit up to you. You have to bug this, especially better, because to make sure that...
Yeah, but anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and all these things, so no problem to contact me until... I don't know, May next year, so it's fine.
You think that it will be done by May?
Well, I would like to, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you.
I should.
If I had to do it again, we made a mistake, should have registered you here at EPFL, you would have got a degree by now from EPFL. Yeah, that was a mistake.
But I would have to study here for that long time, no? What?
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years.
Two years, yeah. I would have to stay one more. Well, it would be good reason for Petra that I have to stay here. Too busy.
So is she getting another position there? Or
because she has a good position, because she has a friend who is starting a lab there, and everything is, it's a great opportunity for her, at least. But the problem is that then she will go back and there's a family issues and all these things, you know. For a girl it's always the pain, because she has to break for some time, at least a little, but has to break, and in the science it's not that easy to break. Okay.
Okay.
So in case I need something on this TLP, I can
Sure. Otherwise I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came it was just like one of the craziest times of the year.
Yeah.
It's not that I was very productive, that I was doing anything useful, but it's just like it's a little bit like
but
all the time rewriting and make little changes. And
yeah, but I think definitely you are the best person here related to availability of you. Because if I want to go to Hervé, I probably call secretary, he's there, and when I can, and there was every time I came to you, you were available, at least.
I try to be, because
that's great.
You know, I mean, this is also my livelihood, right, students? So I'm sure that they need to know something, So feel free, basically, to stop by any time. It's not that I know everything, but I know. I think I sort of know a little bit, like what you guys were doing, right? But not every detail.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore while programming.
Yeah, you don't know why.
We know the details, and you know what is the. What is the global stuff?
Why are you doing this?
Ask Ginek. Ask my boss.
Okay,
yeah.
My mic is falling, so I can be gone, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Oops, I have to take this for a second. that it was long enough.
Stefan, you would have seen the same thing.
On the stars.
It's also on the Punchike. I think we'll see you next week.
Thank you.